Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you guys smooth. Drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Ms. Brown Sugar, and maybe special guests. I don't know yet. In the meantime, give us a call. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Questions, comments, concerns, you can email us, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. If you're on social network, you can socially network with us. You're on Facebook, you can ask to jump into the Smooth Drama group, myself or Shiny Whiskers. Mr. J will add you to the group. Once again, myself or Shiny Whiskers. Yes, Mr. J will add you to the group. And basically, anywhere you find Smooth Drama, add us, follow us, whatever, and we will add you, follow you. Unless you are some supreme foolishness. So we not talking about the people who are listening to the show. We talking about the other people.
Oh, okay.
You can chat with us during the blog talk live in the chat room. Or you can go to smoothdrama.com. There you can see our faces that are made for radio. Smoothdrama.com.
I don't know about your face. I don't think I'd be too bad on TV, but that's, you know, my opinion.
Okay, I'm just saying. So, for that, the site had previously had issues, it is now fixed. So there's a chat room that you can jump into, and that also any listeners that wish to chat. All right, and as always, Tales from the Apocalypse. You know, they've already started somewhat shutdowns. It's kind of weird, right? So in L.A., they shut down the beaches. But the sheriff's department came out and said, nah, we not going to enforce it. So technically the beach is closed, but the police ain't going to show up to kick you out the beach. So yeah,
they're not gonna show up.
No, they announced.
I thought they had...
No, the sheriff, they said they're not gonna show up. They're not gonna enforce it. They're not gonna
I see. Even though it's an ordinance or the governor has stated,
right,
they're not showing it. Okay, I see.
Yeah, I mean, because it's not like Newsom's going to be out there like, hey, don't come on the beach or I'm going to shoot you. So,
no,
yeah.
But he's getting together a little something as far as like coordinating like where you can report and they'll actually like come out.
Man, ain't nobody coming out there.
I don't know. I mean, you know.
Sheriff just said, I ain't coming. Their whole department is like, yeah, we're gonna let y'all do
that. He's getting together his own task force.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Now, if you're in charge and the dude says, I'm not going to follow your orders, shouldn't you just fire that dude?
You know, I would think. I mean, in any other profession, you lose your job if you don't do what you're supposed to. So I don't know. I mean, they always, you know, we always want to say police, their service isn't, you know, above reproach, but it is. You can't. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I always thought it was just another, you know, not another job, but it's a job. People get fired from their job all the time. So I don't understand.
Well, yeah, they should be fired, but that's that's a whole other argument. I mean, sticking with the beach, I saw something funny, and this is stuff that only happens during the apocalypse. There was a bride and groom. They were taking pictures for their wedding, and the surf washed their ass right into the ocean. They almost died, and out there tripping on the edge of the rocks, mm-hmm. where the surf is and the waves is really, really tough. So you stand that, because I'm a guess that police, I don't know if the lifeguard's going to be there. So all you folks down there in SoCal, you want to get out there. You might get swept out there and never be seen again. Just saying.
Newsom ordered that the beach parking lots be closed. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there's parking along the way, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, but it's nobody's going to be there to enforce it. So it's open.
Just saying.
That's true. I think it's
going to
be.
Would that be the police? Or that's the park rangers who aren't enforcing. Is that what the park rangers said?
Well, it's the beach.
So who's in charge of that? Isn't that like a city thing? It's not necessarily a police thing.
Well, I mean, normally the police. So if nobody is there, I mean, because it's the weekend. Most beach officials don't work on weekends. Monday through Friday, city gig, right? Unless you're especially, and it's the 4th of July, so yeah, I don't think that they're going to get that double time. I think that would be double time. They're probably not going to pay that out. So, yeah, not going to happen.
Okay.
It's going to be interesting. I, of course, expect some horrible stuff to happen this weekend. I can't see how
violence
that.
Or
oh, yeah.
or everything like COVID
oh, yeah.
spread.
all of the above. It's all gonna be out there because folks gonna be out there. No police gonna be out there, and they know the police not gonna be out there. So yeah, I expect some craziness to happen. You know, not only that, but they also said those people who work alone. And they never coordinate attacks. There's rumors that there's supposed to be some attacks on people who are melanated, coordinated attacks. It kind of was put out there. So we'll see. I'm expecting that bad stuff to happen. But we ain't gonna talk about that.
Hope for the better.
Yes, we're going to hope for the better. Actually, we're going to talk about the dumbass of the week. All right. So, I don't even know where to start on this one. There's a conspiracy theory that's talking about GOP candidates who embrace what they call a QAnon. Okay.
What's a QAnon?
Well, it's a conspiracy that says and it's about the people who believe in this, that's funny, that Trump is working behind the scenes to expose and disrupt a vast conspiracy involving deep state bureaucrats and global elites who are engaging in a pedophilia ring. As you know, Donald Trump is the hero of the American people. And supposedly, a bunch of candidates who believe in this have been elected. Yeah.
Okay.
It's somebody named Q who people are following, and they say that this is what's happening. Donald Trump is trying to take down the international pedophile ring. That's why he's acting the way he's acting.
So Donald Trump by himself?
Donald Trump is the hero of the American
or the government?
Donald Trump.
I mean, as the president, I don't think that's like something he should be focused on, though. Do you?
Hey,
I mean, not to say that. When I say that, I'm meaning like he's not like literally doing this by himself. He's having like government agents do this. Like how involved is he in this?
Deeply involved. He's breaking it down himself. That's how he does it. You know, he gets the best people. And he's incredibly thorough in what he does in helping people.
Yeah, he always says he's doing great things.
He's doing great things. And so he's breaking up this pedophile ring, this international pedophile ring. That's why all the racist tweets and all this other stuff, he's bringing it all out.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because you believe that, right?
That he's doing it? No, I don't believe that.
No, you don't believe it?
If they want us to believe it.
See, that's what's wrong with you. You're supposed to believe that You're supposed to.
That he's a hero?
Yeah, and if you believe that, good stuff will happen to you, for you.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll try.
Okay. All right. Me too.
Okay.
In the meantime, I'll talk about Tales from the Apocalypse. I'm going to talk about something that just shows how far we done fell. Woman over in London. There were some swans that were mating. So she gets upset and she starts kicking the swans
because
they were mating. And when the dude tried to stop it, like, hey, what you doing? Her and her friends, they pushed the dude into the water. Like swans can't get in there? That's where we at now?
I mean, they're wild animals. I don't know what it is with people and wild animals.
Well, maybe they're just like, because we can't do it, we're going to break the swan. I'm just saying, you have to be a really low person when you're hating on animals at that point.
You do have to be miserable. I hope she just wasn't like thinking, if I can't have none of y'all can. I mean, I'm hoping that she wasn't comparing her sex life to the swans.
Yeah, it's the funniest thing that I've seen. Amidst all the stuff that's happening in the world, racial strife, COVID, the wars, whatnot, she sees the swans like, nah. You start kicking the swan.
Exactly.
Why? You can't just walk by and let that happen. That's where we at.
Or enjoy the show. Heck, I don't know. Animals mating. She doesn't watch like National Geographic or,
You said enjoy the show. I don't know about that. I'm
just saying.
Like, oh, okay. Do your thing.
I mean, don't be a Debbie Downer about it. It's animals. They're wild. They're mating. That's what, that's what we're all supposed to be anyway. So, maybe that's what she was mad about. That she doesn't get to enjoy it the way, she would like to.
I mean, but that's
she has
that's
to be,
like,
feel ashamed maybe. Maybe she's ashamed of sex. Who knows?
Yeah, but think you at the house and y'all getting busy, and then the bear just bust in, break y'all apart. Like, stop that shit. Probably wouldn't appreciate it.
You know, if a bear, the bear's not going to have to break me apart. I'm going to break myself apart. I'm not going to stay if a bear breaks into my house. So I will stop for that.
You're not.
But
the swans weren't expecting a human to bust in on there. I'm just saying. So it's as crazy as that sounds. That's why I say mirror universe. We on that other side. Because I'm guessing on the other side, folks ain't doing none of this crazy stuff. I'm going to keep saying that. Mirror universe. We on the other side. On that note, we're going to go on break. This is Immortal Technique, Harlem Renaissance.
Let me welcome both of you to the show this morning to talk about what I consider to be a very, very important topic, the Harlem Renaissance. But before we get into that,
Harlem once was red line district rated, dedicated ghetto like the yellow star of David. And you wonder why people don't own their homes, because the racist bank couldn't fucking mortgage them home. Harlem once was red line district rated, dedicated ghetto like the yellow star of David. And you wonder why people don't own their homes, because the racist bank couldn't fucking mortgage them home. Harlem once was red line district rated, dedicated ghetto like the yellow star of David. And you wonder why people don't own they home, because the racist bank couldn't fucking mortgage them home until after the invasion of gentrification, eminent domain intimidation. That's not negotiation, and it's frustrating to look at every day, like watching a porno on 56K. Biohazard labs instead of storerooms. What next, motherfucker? Project storerooms. You ain't fool, nobody in this community too. Which is real fake Manhattanville community group. Ivy League real estate firms of corrupt LA seats to your castle like the Moors. Europe, they see street vendors like criminal riffraff, while politicians get the corporate kickback. Harlem Renaissance, a revolution betrayed. Modern day slaves thinking that the ghetto is saved. So they start deporting people off the property, ethnically cleansing the hood, economically. They want to kill the real Harlem Renaissance, trying to put the Virgin Mary through an early menopause. The savior is a metaphor for how we set it off. Guerrilla war against the free-throwing predators. When I speak about Harlem, I speak to the world. The little Afghan boy and the Bosnian girl, the African of Sudan, the people of Kurdistan, the third world American, indigenous man, Palestinians, Washington Heights, Dominicans, displaced New Orleans citizens, beachfront civilians, favelas that's living in the hood is prior real estate, they went back in again. I didn't write this book, shit I saved because some of y'all forgot what the Harlem Renaissance was. We had revolution, music, and artisans, but the movement was still fucked up like Parkinson's, cause while we were giving birth to the culture we love, prejudice kept the old people out of the club. Only colored celebrities in the party and left us a legacy of false superiority. W.E.B. Dubois versus Walker Thornton, and we ended up selling out to everybody. Dutch Schultz and the John Gotti faces, modern day gangsters, the mobile army. They want to move the soul out to NYC like they did to the Jews with the Al Harbor decree. So support your own businesses and do the knowledge. What? Because the real Harlem Renaissance is economic. Harlem Renaissance, a revolution betrayed. Modern day slaves thinking that the ghetto was saved. So they start deporting people off the property, ethnically cleansing the hood economically. They want to kill the real Harlem Renaissance, trying to put the Virgin Mary through an early menopause. The savior is a metaphor for how we set it off. Guerrilla war against the free-throwing predators.
When they were saying it is the Renaissance of Harlem, they didn't mean that we had taken them. They meant to say that they could make money out of us. They are coming in with all kinds of preferences. In Brooklyn, they're doing the same thing. In Queens, they're doing the same thing. The Bronx. There's hardly any place which is affordable. I mean, these people are putting up condominiums which start from $1 million. How many people in this community need that kind of money? How many people have that kind of money? People of Harlem, they are the natural allies of the oppressed people of the world. Whether the struggle is in Panama, in Africa, Cuba, we spend money with the wrong people. We are looking for love with people who don't love us. What's wrong with us loving each other and making sure that we are
together? You got to move. drama. Smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F. N. Word and Ms. Brown Sugar. That was Immortal Technique, Harlem Renaissance. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right, so, you ever heard of Vanessa Gillen?
Brown Sugar? No, not that. No.
All right, so, Vanessa Gillen is that soldier that's been missing for a few days. Well, for about a month.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yes, I have heard it, yes.
Well, the remains have been found, and the suspect has killed himself. But they kind of haven't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they kind of haven't gave up any details. I mean, I'm guessing they probably did some bad stuff to her, killed her, because they found some remains by the base, and they're just, well, yeah, there was a guy we questioned, and he killed himself, and that's it. That's the story.
Well, they really didn't give it much attention to, you know, to begin with.
Military.
Yeah, but you know, usually things like that, you know, are on the news. So that's usually a nationwide story, and for some reason, it wasn't. I guess with everything else going on. But yeah,
it missing soldiers. Not that important. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading on a little bit of it. It was kind of hard to follow because there wasn't that much information. So it was kind of, you know, she was missing. They weren't saying anything really, you know, about what was going on. But you knew, you know, you can kind of read into it. But yeah, it's a very sad story.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a guess that. Because she was attractive, she probably got unwanted attention. Dudes came on to her, she ain't appreciated, and she got killed for it.
Yeah, that's amazing to me.
I'm just take that guess that's what happened.
Yeah, well, that could go down a lot of different ways. Maybe she gave the attention to somebody else, and that other person was jealous. Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Speaking of military stuff, so now I don't know if a lot of people heard that allegedly, the military they give briefs to people. Right, they talk about foreign policy, whatnot. You know, everything goes past the office of the president, right? Except for apparently there was something that happened with the Russians. The Russians had a plan to pay bounties to mercenaries to kill American soldiers. But the intelligence and national security leader said they did not brief the president in person.
Yeah.
they
denied
that,
it, though.
Yeah, they said that the intelligence has circulated in the White House and within Trump's own national security apparatus, but they were unaware of any direct face-to-face briefing that he had received. Because, you know, everybody's talking about it, but he don't know nothing about it.
No?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of stuff he doesn't know about, right?
I would talk to, because, you know, it's always a lot of people. We've had people in our chat room who were very pro POTUS, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, so the dude that's hanging out with the dude that's saying kill the soldiers, I'm like, and you know about it, but you still hang out with that dude and you don't say nothing about it. Ain't that like traitorous?
Yeah, treason. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because you know, don't we have folks?
But if he doesn't know about it.
Yeah, I know everybody knows about it but him. We know about it.
Well, there's a lot of stuff he doesn't know. He didn't know where Finland was. He didn't know that those people on the video he retweeted said white power. He doesn't know how to treat COVID. I mean, there's just so much stuff he doesn't know. So, I mean, I don't know. I kind of, maybe he didn't know.
You think that?
No. I don't know what to think with him. I really don't. I think he knows a lot more than what he says, for one. I don't know a president or anybody. I don't know how people get these jobs and don't have to have any accountability for them, though. That's just amazing. I want one of those jobs.
A job that you can't get fired from? No matter what bad you do?
No matter what I do. I mean, and that's going to be okay because I'm not going to do anything bad. I mean, you know. But, like, if I take a 35-minute lunch. I don't know.
Line those kids up. We're going to have an R. Kelly party.
Yeah.
That's
horrible.
That's horrible. Not funny.
Yeah.
Shouldn't even do that. All right. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying, but yeah. I mean, in my profession, I do worry. You know, you do kind of always worry about if you're doing the right thing. You know, everybody's so on edge in education now. You know, nobody wants to be. You know, everybody's bullied. So, you know, it's like I said,
if you wanna get over in American society, it's two jobs. Catholic priest or policeman.
I don't wanna be either one of those.
I'm just saying, you couldn't be a Catholic priest. So it kind of like cuts one totally off from.
Why not?
Oh, they don't.
Why can't
I
be a Catholic priest?
They don't really let
they don't
women.
Yes, they do. Yeah. They do. I couldn't necessarily have my own church, per se. It would be very difficult, but I could still be one.
Okay. But what's a priest
have to,
without
you
a
know,
church?
A helper?
Priest without a church just means, you're just Al Sharpton. It's like.
Yeah, I'm just helping. I'm an evangelist, maybe. I don't know.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That caller that was on the line, please call back and we will put you on. All right. Speaking of politicians, also, there was in Boston, in particular, they had a budget debate. And after the budget debate, several politicians had their houses vandalized.
Mm.
And city council. And just, I guess, folks are taking it to the next level. You're not gonna do what I want. You're gonna mess your house up.
Yeah, we're gonna tear it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, I'm sure worse things have happened to people. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm sure that's happened many times before.
Nah, but I'm like, you know, if you come to my house, I'm like, I catch you. You spraying on my house, I'm shooting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking a chance, but I mean, you know, in politics, anything goes.
Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. State where you're calling from and what can we do you for?
Well, God damn, it's been like 20 minutes. I'm calling from Jersey right now. What the hell took you so long? Before you even cut me off, I got a few things I want to talk about first. Let's recap on that whole beach closing. In most states where there's water surrounding, the beaches and the parks normally run.
Shiny Whiskers, tell the people who you are.
This is Mr. J speaking for all y'all who recognize my voice and for those who don't.
We don't.
Okay. Going back to what you were talking about earlier. Hello, Brown Sugar. The beaches and the parks are normally run by the park police, which is basically, in most states, a subdivision of either the county police or the state police. Now, regardless who really runs that division, if it comes down to the police neglecting or refusing to do what is basically their job, which is to enforce the laws of the state, then the governor can, and at his own doing, he can either like fire them, even though then the police union gets involved, or he can mandate that they, you know, they step in, you know, they come and do their job, or he can have a National Guard protect the beaches and the state parks. The other issue regarding Dum Dum in the office.
Protect the beaches from what?
Well, if he's saying, if the governor is saying that the beaches are supposed to be closed and the, I guess, the mayor or whoever, like in
sheriff.
L.A., is saying that they should be open, even the sheriff, then he would have to call in, I guess, at some point. He'd probably have to call in the National Guard and protect the beaches from everybody. If the state law or the current law says that they're supposed to be closed. So that ends that argument. Now, regarding that orange guy you guys put in office, it's two ways you can go.
Don't say you guys.
The people that voted him, the electoral college or whoever put him in office. It's like this: he can do what he's been doing, denying shit when it works against him, and admitting shit when it works for him, or claiming shit when it works for him. He can deny knowing that he knew what was going on with the whole, you know, Soviet Union or whomever killing armed forces, which he'll probably do. More than likely, I don't think he knew the full extent, but I can guarantee you a memo or something did cross his desk. If they did try, let me finish. There's a lot that Trump probably don't know, just for pure stupidity. If what I'm saying to you is that in the last couple of weeks, the way the whole Republican Party has been going, they're probably starting to realize that, yo, it's getting closer to reelection, and with the way he's been handling the COVID virus and other things, the racial tension across this country, he's losing points. So when this came about, they probably had a meeting behind his back or whatever, and basically decided if they tell him, they're not going to tell him everything, and they're going to hold back key details. So, however you want to look at it.
All right. I'm not gonna look at it like that. I'm gonna ask you, Mr. J.
I'm saying,
hello.
We have another caller.
So we'll put that. We all just gonna jump into the mix. Caller.
I heard Mr. J call me a big dum-dum. I heard Mr. J call me a big dum-dum, and that doesn't make me happy. I love your show, but that's not okay.
Hold on. Hold on. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
My name is Trump, and I'm calling from Washington.
Okay.
Well, like I said, I'm not biting my tongue. I don't know, you know, if it is Trump. Okay, whatever. My point is this. If you knew what was going on, you didn't act on it. So that makes you look bad. If you didn't know, how come you didn't know? And don't tell me, you know, I don't want to hear that you weren't informed. You're the world's most powerful man, you know. You're supposed to know everything. How come you didn't know about this? Plain and simple. Either you knew or you didn't know. If you knew, you didn't act on it.
Mr. J, let's let him give us the answer. Can you give us the answer, Mr. President?
I was told by some people and not told by others. They took words, they put them out of their mouth, they placed them back in, it went through one ear and out the other. I accept no responsibility, but I know that I would do everything I can to protect Americans. Brown Sugar, you know this.
Anyway, like I said, I mean, I don't. Well, I didn't vote for you, so it don't matter. You won't be in office come January, so it doesn't matter. On that note, next call.
All right. Well, POTUS, thank you for your call, I guess. Yeah, that was interesting. All right, so back to what we were talking about. He didn't. Nobody told him. Apparently, about the bounce.
You want to believe
well, he
that?
He said he heard it. He said he heard it, and he went in one ear out of the other. So then
he did hear it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he didn't know. He knew. Like everything else, if it doesn't work to his advantage, it goes in one ear and out the other. If it works to his advantage, he's going to try to put a twist on it just to make sure, you know, it makes him look good.
Okay,
but in any event.
While we're here, we'll move on to the next thing, the next topic, Hater of the Week.
Hate. I hate you.
All right. Arizona Councilman Guy Phillips, he took the stage yesterday, and it was a rally. It was an anti-mask rally. He was wearing his black cloth face mask, and he stood silently for a minute, and then he spoke into the microphone. I can't breathe. Before ripping it off.
Okay, so he's not for wearing masks, but at least for the first minute or so, he had a mask on. Then he took it off to say he couldn't breathe. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, those three words, I can't breathe. It's funny how, and y'all can chime in if I'm wrong, but it's funny how that term, which, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, they're echoing the words of Eric Garner and, you know, now his name slips my mind.
George Floyd.
Yeah, George, yeah. They're echoing their words. It's a basic statement. I cannot breathe. He's telling whomever to get off my neck so I can breathe. He's not even saying uncuff me. He's just saying, look, I can't breathe. You're killing me. What more do you need to hear? Now, this dude takes those same three words and tries to flip it into something else regarding the COVID virus. Let me ask you quick, because everybody has their own take on this. Let me ask you this. If you go into the hospital to have surgery, what's the first thing that doctor does before he comes out to operate on you? He washes his hands. He puts a mask on. And they make sure all the utensils are sterile. That's something they teach you to do in medical school. Why? To keep you from getting any type of infections or germs. If you go get a tooth pulled, they do basically the same thing for the same reason. So why would you want to be out here in public walking around free willy with no mask on, knowing that even though you can't see it, but you know it's out here somewhere, you want to take the risk of not only possibly, you know, contracting the virus yourself, killing others, you know, at the same time, or infecting other people. Why would you want to do that?
So Brown Sugar, you want to take this one first?
Sure. I can't really answer that question only because I agree with wearing a mask. I don't understand why you wouldn't wear one. I feel like him saying I can't breathe. I mean, it is a true statement. It is difficult to breathe with the mask. But at the same time, I feel like, is that a message, like a dig to the Black Lives Matter or a dig to Eric Garner or George Floyd? I mean, what was his intentions in saying that?
Some people would probably take it as a somewhat dig.
Yeah, I don't think it's a somewhat dig. It is an all the way disrespect.
Well, yeah, I mean, is this a white senator saying this?
Yeah, but the point is...
Well, yeah, he's Arizona.
Right,
yeah.
But the point is, he said it. He knows I can't breathe was the dying words of three people. Because we're not talking about Elijah McClain, too. So we're talking about three people who uttered those words, I can't breathe, before they were murdered. And so he knows that. So the irresponsible words that he said, those were his. There's no sugarcoating.
I'm not saying that he didn't, like, you know, his intentions or his purpose was not to offend anybody. I guess what I'm saying is that even in COVID, they're giving them, they're on ventilators to help them breathe. So they can't breathe as well. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out, like, why are those three words being used by, you know, and it's being used racially. It's not, to me, it's more than just about race. It's about, like, what's really happening in the world right now. Mm. Like, yes, it is a racial issue, but it's also people dying from COVID who cannot breathe. So, you know, I don't see why,
but
or how
I
it's even, like, funny or...
It's not
you know,
funny,
I just,
but...
I don't see it.
Well,
it's nowhere near.
They're making light of it, though. If they're making light of it, then to them it is, and I don't understand that.
So, for example, Herman Cain, he was admonishing people for masks. He got COVID, and he's in the hospital. See, remember when I was saying that there was an opportunity, and it's like we missed the opportunity when you didn't let all them folks come together. It's like.
Mm-hmm.
These things work themselves out. They work themselves out.
Well, that's so basically you're saying karma. It's karma. And I believe that for those who...
Yeah.
But
yeah,
see,
yeah, it is, kind of. But at the same time, it's just like when Trump told everybody to drink bleach or told, you know, and he was being silly, I guess.
Well, that
he
was
said.
Just, well, no,
but,
he was being dead serious.
But, and then
just,
people went
know.
Out and actually drank bleach, though. People actually went out and listened to what he said and actually did it, and they were hospitalized. And people are like,
right,
oh, no,
see,
no, don't do that. And it's like, let him do it.
If you're stupid
exactly.
enough, then you well,
earned
see,
that. For something like that, he can always argue, well, I was only joking. But even what sitting president or what sitting person in Congress, the Senate, you know, whatever, what person of power would say something as silly or stupid as that in the state of crisis that we're in now? Only Trump.
Exactly.
You know?
And so anybody who listens to him and does what he says, then, you know.
Right. And so his defense is like, Well, just because I said it didn't mean that they had to go do it. And why would you go do something like that? You know? But see, for his followers that, or his people that really and truly support him, you know, he could do whatever, you know, in their eyes, he basically can do damn near anything and get away with it. This was just another order or whatever. This was just like the gospel speaking to them. Well, he said it, so it must be okay to do.
Hey,
and
look,
go out and they do it.
Look, I hope that he says, hey, look, he comes out, you know what, y'all drink that bleach. Look, you want to drink bleach? I would not slap the bleach out of anybody's hand. You want to drink bleach? You know what? Do your thing. I'm not going to slap it out of anybody's hand. Y'all do it. Y'all want to come, you know, you want to go, you want to have a million of y'all together and not have masks and all this. Hey, do your thing. I'm saying, hey, let it sit back and let it happen. That's all we got to do. Just sit back and let it happen. Boom. And what will happen will happen. We got going back and forth on how stupid people are. Hey, if you want to drink the bleach, drink the bleach. I hope it tastes good. Add some sugar. Oh, yeah.
There ain't nothing you can add to that. It's going to make it taste any better.
That's what I'm saying. So, speaking... Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
So, the shit that happened again. Alright, so the church. You know, we always talk about these preachers. Reverend Theodore Rothrock, who is the Reverend over at St. Elizabeth Seton Catholic Church in Carmel, Indiana. He had a whole speech talking about Black Lives Matter protesters. So he said, and I'm gonna read his quote, and then y'all can chime in on it. So he says that Black Lives Matter protesters with Antifa are an umbrella term used for leftist militants. And he said that Christians should promote peace and that the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. wouldn't support throwing bombs or even marching in the streets, which is funny. He says Black Lives Matter protesters are serpents in the garden whose poison is more toxic than any pandemic we have ever endured. They are wolves in wolves' clothing, masked thieves and bandits, seeking only to devour the life of the poor and profit from the fear of others. He says they are maggots and parasites at best, feeding off the isolation of addiction and broken families, and offering to replace any current frustration and anxiety with more misery and greater resentment.
And what the hell has white America been doing for the last 400 years? Can somebody tell me that?
Yeah.
I mean, if he would take a second and think about what he just said, white America has been getting away with mass murdering, pillaging, and everything he just said for over 400 years. Well, let's just say 400 years.
That don't
okay?
count. Had nothing
but
to do
what
with
I'm saying is. But what I'm saying is this. The few times that black folks have, I guess you could say, somewhat collectively gotten together to protest something that, you know, comes close to, you know, that hits at home, all of a sudden we're everything, this, that, and the other under the sun. Everything negative falls on us. And for those other people, meaning like white protesters, Asian protesters, whoever else is out there protesting along with us, they're just as bad. Had a black cop went out and put his knee on the neck of a white boy or white man, You would not find a black person in the streets right now, because every white person would be out. Well, not every white person, but I'll just say the majority of white people would be out looking for us to have our heads on a stick.
No. See, that's where you're wrong. See, because what would have happened was that cop would have been fired and arrested. He would have already.
Well, yeah, just like the other black cop in Minneapolis.
Right. He went through a quick trial, didn't he? It was a real quick trial. He got arrested immediately. He didn't get months of vacation pay.
His own union didn't even stand behind him.
Right. What was there to stand behind? It was murder.
But he did. I mean, however you look at it, I mean, black cops.
I'm being facetious.
What I'm saying is that you even had black cops or other cops that were ready to testify on his behalf, who were silenced, that were not allowed to testify, meaning that if they did, their jobs would have been in danger just as well, and they would have been fired.
No. Yes. That don't happen.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, as you were saying, you know, I mean, like I used to say, I still say it, whatever happens to us, for the most part, is basically due to the sin for the color of the skin that we are in. No other place in this world, or other places too, but anything that people of color fight for or fight against, we get chastised, we get dragged out media. Every negative thing that you can think of happens to us. White folks do it, and they pretty much get off scot clean, you know? Think about it. This really is going really far, far to the left. But the whole Palestine-Israel thing, they fighting over, you know, real estate. The reality is, Israel came in and took land that Palestine had been on for centuries, if not thousands of years. And the U.S. had a lot to do with it. U.S. helped broker that and helped the Israelis kick Palestine off their own property. So now that Palestine is, you know, really trying to fight back and regain what's theirs, they're fighting back with rocks and sticks, as opposed to Israel getting U.S. back missiles and guns, you know?
Well, I think that's an argument for a whole other day. It's a wholly different argument, because one, if anybody would be out there fighting for their land back, it would probably be the Native Americans.
There's
a whole show that can be done off of.
But if they have, I'm talking about Native Americans. If they have 1 million in total left in this country, that's saying a lot. That just goes to show you how many of them were killed off over the years.
No, I've got a book that shows hundreds of tribes that are extinct. Yeah, their genocide is on a whole other level of maniacal. Anyway, speaking of maniacal, for those of you who like Little Caesar's pizza. And in Ohio, in Cleveland, Ohio, apparently there were some workers who, as a joke, they were making swastika pepperoni pieces. And apparently,
Shaq ain't gonna like that.
Yeah, well that's
not Shaq. Shaq is Papa John's.
That's Papa John's. We're talking about Little Caesar, so not that there's really much of a difference, but. Yeah, according to the owner, and the owner's in on it also, it's intended to be a joke between the employees. Because, you know, there's nothing funnier than sending folks out pieces with swastikas on.
Well, those talking about the employees, unless you got another job already in the loop that you can go to, or if that's your part-time job and you find what your current coworker's doing as offensive, you got the option to go to the new job or quit the part-time job. As far
yeah.
as customers, ain't much going to change as far as customers unless you're delivering a pizza to a Jewish family and they open up the box and see that. It's up to them to, you know, it's up to them to band together
yeah.
and file a complaint.
I'm going to say this, and I think you missed the point. The owner is in on it, so nobody's getting fired.
Well, no, and I'm not saying that. Well, true. Okay, so if nobody's getting fired, like I just said, for those employees that use Little Caesar as like their part-time job, a second job, whether you're doing deliveries or you actually work in stores, but that's your second job, if you've got another job, another part-time job lined up, then, you know, you're free to leave. If you don't, then you gotta let me finish, or if you don't, then you gotta sit there and you gotta deal with it.
I don't think you're hearing me, Brown Sugar. You want to tell him if the owner is endorsing swastika pieces and the employees are doing it, I'm gonna guess everybody there is cool with swastika pieces. It's an internal joke.
What I'm saying is that even though the employees, quote unquote, may be in on the joke, I don't think all of them are. But I think the numbers, just me personally, if it's just one or two stores, maybe the number of employees that are against it, maybe they're outnumbered by the ones that are down with it. So for those that are against it, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but if it's something like if we're talking regional, say 50 stores or more or whatever, the more stores that you have involved, that's a different story.
So we're talking about each store is like you buy a franchise. So I'll just ask Brown Sugar this. So if you work at Little Caesars and everybody thinks swastika pizza is a joke, you probably already quit, right?
Probably, yeah. I don't think I wouldn't stay, no.
Yeah, I'm going to take that guess. It's like, because it was a joke internally amongst the employees. So that means everybody who worked there, they were on Team Swastika. That's kind of the point.
They need to jump over.
There were other things happening as well. It wasn't just.
Yeah.
That.
It sounds like a white supremacist hub base. It just sounds like that.
Well, where did this happen again?
Cleveland suburb of Cleveland, Ohio.
Well, I'll just say this much. Anything that happens anywhere in what's considered the Midwest, more than likely it's happening in some small town 40 miles or more outside of a big city. So,
okay. All right.
You know.
Okay. So,
it gets racial.
Shiny Whiskers, we want to thank you for chiming in. Don't be a stranger. I think this is like, it's like 4 years later. Yeah, five, six years later.
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I don't have shiny whiskers.
You are shiny whiskers. We've been calling you shiny whiskers.
Other than my eyebrows and a little bit of facial hair I have on my lip, I don't have any. Sorry, wrong dude. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyway. So, I want to thank you, Shiny Whiskers, for calling in. And for Miss Brown Sugar, I'm Mr. F to N Word. This is another Smooth Ground production. And we're out. Peace.
Talk to you later.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
the moves.
Drama.